of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, a poor miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you for God's mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. Let them be ashamed and confounded that seek after my soul. Let them be turned backward and put to confusion that desire.
ruthless shall come to nothing, and the scoffer cease, and all who watch to do evil shall be cut off, who by a word make a man out to be an offender, and lay a snare for him who reproves in the gate, and with an empty plea turn aside him who is in the right. Therefore, thus says the Lord, who redeemed Abraham, concerning the house of Jacob. Jacob shall no more be ashamed, no more shall his face grow pale. For when he sees his children, the work of my hands, in his midst, they will sanctify my name. They will sanctify the Holy One of Jacob, and will stand in awe of the God of Israel. And those who go astray in spirit will come to understanding, and those who murmur will accept instruction. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad.
The epistle is from 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Such is the confidence that we have through Christ toward God. Not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything that's coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God, who has made us competent to be ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Now, if the ministry of death, carved in letters on stone, came with such glory that the Israelites could not gaze at Moses' face because of its glory, which was being brought to an end, will not the ministry of the Spirit have even more glory? For if there was glory in the ministry of condemnation, the ministry of righteousness must far exceed it in glory. Indeed, in this case, what once had glory has come to have no glory at all, because of the glory that surpasses it. For if what was being brought to an end came with glory, much more for what is permanent hath glory. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord.
mercy and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. From the Gospel for this day, St. Mark chapter 7, verse 37. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, "He has done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." There is an unmistakable note of joy in the Gospel read on this Lord's Day. St. Mark's account of the healing of a man who was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. St. Mark carefully records the reaction of the people who saw this miracle. Mark writes, "They were astonished beyond measure, saying, 'He has done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak.'" The story of this healing is very vivid. It suggests an eyewitness account. Mark, being the interpreter of Peter, the one who committed to writing the preaching and teaching of Peter. The story is vivid, and the one word that perhaps grasps our attention is the Aramaic word "epatha." Epatha. This is the one-word prayer that Jesus uses, and it means "be open." It is a word from the Aramaic language, which is the language spoken by our Lord in his day. Epatha, be open. And his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. In this healing, we see the glorious fulfillment of the prophecy of Isaiah, who, looking forward to the coming of our Savior, cries out with joy, "Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are of a fearful heart, 'Be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come. Then shall the eyes of the blind be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing for joy. The meek shall obtain fresh joy in the Lord, and the poor among mankind shall exult in the Holy One of Israel.'" Yes, there is an unmistakable note of joy in the Gospel for this day. And we might even say that for this deaf mute, his healing was a kind of grand opening, epatha, the open. Christ is himself the wondrous fulfillment of the prophet's words, and Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so when you and I hear these words of St. Mark read in this divine service, we need to understand that these words speak not only of what once happened long ago in far-off Palestine. These words, in fact, point to what the Lord Jesus is doing now today among us, especially as he again comes to us through the preaching of his word and the gift of the Holy Sacrament. Yes, Jesus brought about for this deaf mute what we might call a grand opening. For the man who was deaf, could not speak, Jesus effects this grand opening, causing the spiritually deaf to hear and loosing their tongues to sing his praise. Now you and I may not be physically deaf or blind or lame, but in all of our lives there is something that needs to be opened, something that's closed, and something we don't have the power to open all by ourselves. Perhaps we've closed ourselves off to forgiveness, perhaps refusing to accept it, or maybe refusing to give it to somebody else. Perhaps we're closed off to some person we don't like or who has offended us. Or perhaps we're closed off to the truth, to some teaching of God's word which we have difficulty in believing. Or perhaps we're closed to some commandment of the Lord. Perhaps there are people whom God has placed in our lives, but we've chosen to close ourselves off to them for who knows what reason. Yes, you and I may, like that deaf mute, need to hear the word of the Lord Jesus spoken to our need, Ephatha, be open. You might even say that this one simple word of Jesus, be opened, encompasses our whole life as Christians. Sin closed off our life from God, placed that one insuperable obstacle between our Maker and ourselves. But Jesus, who said to the deaf-mute, Ephatha, be open, looses us from sin, through forgiveness makes us God's dear children, who now hear his kindly word and sing his praises. Of all our Lord's grand openings, the greatest is his resurrection. At Jesus' resurrection, not only was Christ's tomb opened, but heaven itself was opened to the whole lost and dying world. And because Christ is risen, you and I look forward to that last and great day when he will come again in glory and cry out over the graves of all who sleep in him, Ephatha, be open, come, blessed my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Jesus dealt very personally with that poor deaf mute. He took him aside from the crowd. He put his fingers in the deaf man's ears, and after spitting, touched his tongue. Jesus continues to deal very personally with you and with me in the Holy Sacraments. Through the water of your baptism, he claimed you for his own, and in the Holy Communion, he feeds you with his holy body, his precious blood, that most certain pledge of the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. It isn't always easy to hear the voice of our Savior. There is so much disquiet in the world we live in. And perhaps worse than that, there is disquiet within ourselves, which, if we're not careful, drowns out the tender voice of the Good Shepherd, calling us each by name. And so we must pray that our loving Savior would calm the disquiet we feel within and speak to us above all the disquiet of the world that surrounds us. Think of the word of the psalmist, "Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God." And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. In our prayers this morning, we, as always, remember all those for whom our prayers are desired. This morning, we especially remember Joe Silver. And on this day, we give thanks with Albert and Anita Bell, who yesterday celebrated their 5th wedding anniversary. Let us stand and pray for the church and for the world. O Lord our God, holy and infinite, you caused the light to shine out of darkness and have shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of your glory in the face of Jesus Christ. Accept now in your endless mercy this our sacrifice of thanksgiving and praise, and mercifully hear our requests. Lord, in your mercy, remember your whole church throughout the world, all the pastors and ministers of your holy word and sacraments, the chaplains of the armed forces of our nation, and the missionaries of your grace at home and abroad. Lord, in your mercy, remember also the President of the United States, the governor of this state, the Congress and our legislature, our judges and magistrates, and all who bear the authority of government in this and in every land, that justice and peace may everywhere prevail. Lord, in your mercy. We thank you for your goodness to Albert and Anita, whose marriage you have blessed. Open their hearts always to receive more of your love, that their love for each other may never grow weary, but deepen and grow through every joy and sorrow shared. Lord, in your mercy. Remember in your compassion all those who in this transitory life are in trouble, sorrow, need, sickness, or any other adversity, especially all persecuted Christians and all those, especially Joseph, for whom our prayers are desired. Lord, in your mercy. We also remember before you all those who have departed this life in the true faith of your holy name, and pray that we with them may have our portion with all your saints in light, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. This morning we will now install the newly elected church council so the congregation may sit, and the members of the council are invited to come to the altar rail.
Beloved in the Lord, Holy Scripture admonishes us that all things should be done decently and in order. To that end, the constitution and bylaws of this congregation establishes office, you here present have been chosen to fill offices and positions of responsibility at our Savior congregation. You are to work with the pastor that our life together in Christ may be orderly and pleasing in his sight. You are to see that the services of God's house are held at the proper times, that the Word of God is purely preached and taught according to the Lutheran confessions, that the sacraments of Christ are administered according to his institution, that provision is made for the Christian instruction of God the Lord, that the erring are admonished, that discipline is maintained. You are to see that the temporal affairs of the congregation are properly administrated, and that proper support is provided for the workers of this congregation. You are to assist in caring for the poor and the sick, in cultivating harmony among the members, in promoting the general welfare of the congregation, and in furthering the kingdom of Christ here throughout the world. While holiness of life and obedience to Christ are expected of all members of the congregation, it is especially important that you, as office bearers of this church, show yourselves by word and example to be faithful to Him in service and Christian devotion. In the presence of God and of this congregation, I therefore now ask you, do you accept the office entrusted to you, and do you promise faithfully to carry out your duties, trusting in the Lord and conforming yourself to His word, in accordance with the faith of the Evangelical Lutheran Church? If so, then answer, I do.
I do.
Now I speak to the congregation, beloved in the Lord, who have heard the promises of faithfulness spoken by these persons whom you have selected to serve as officers of our Savior congregation. Do you promise to support them in their work, to remember them in your prayers, and to work with them to the best of the abilities that God has given you, so that God may be glorified in his work done? If so, then answer, we do.
We do.
I therefore install you as officers of our Savior congregation in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Almighty and most merciful God enlighten and strengthen you in your offices, that you may be good and faithful stewards of the glory of His the good of his people. Amen. Go then in the name of the Lord, be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. The Almighty and most merciful God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless and preserve. We continue by singing hymn 636, stanzas 1 through 5, 636, stanzas 1 through 5.